Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace is gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time. Road ain't
show, because a couple of our team are unable to join us. You get to put up with a whole lot of myself, Rodney Santos, and Dan Wilson, and along with Jennifer Montrose, and Scott and Stacy will not be joining us this evening, but we're going to be talking about some very simple things coming up in the show tonight. Let's face it, Common Core is not all right. It is not good. It has to go. It has to be stopped. Dan, I know you're going to be talking about a house vote that happened recently, and we're going to be covering various things. This country, we've talked about it before, people need to focus. Come on, folks. We're all discussing Zimmerman and Trayvon. What happened to Benghazi? What happened to the IRS, the NSA? This country was founded based on a fight to remove ourselves from an oppressive government, and we are stepping right back back into it again. Is this really where we want to be? Is this really where we want to go? We want to go right back to where we were 200 and some odd years ago, before this country was formed with blood, sweat, and tears. People who stepped out of their comfort zone, people who said, this is not all right, it is not how I'm going to live my life, and they are going to do something about it. With that, Dan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rodney. Yeah, there is so much to talk about right now. It's almost like, where do you begin? The latest thing with Benghazi is Speaker Boehner is trying to block the investigation. When you see things like this, it just drives me nuts. It's like, you know, what the heck is this guy doing? You know, it's... And then we have, you know, the health care issue where Obama just totally goes right around Congress and then decides he's going to postpone part of it for a year without even going through Congress like it's supposed to. It's just one thing after another, and people just sit there, and we need more people involved in this. And of course, Common Core is absolutely just horrendous. If Common Core is allowed to really go through to fruition, you can basically spell the end of our country. I'm appalled at it. I mean, it's, you know, they're trying to turn, dumb us down and turn us into a bunch of little robots that will follow whatever the federal government says. They're trying to take away state sovereignty, which is driving me crazy. It's, they're putting more and more federal laws in and taking the rights away from the states. We were talking last Saturday is, thank God there's seven states now saying they're essentially reenacting the state militias and putting the government on notice that if they decide to take over aggressively into the state, then they're going to meet with opposition. And we need more and more states to do that. We need to start standing up for our state rights and stopping these people from trying to take over. And it's just, as I said, it's one thing after another. And it's I just can't believe so much is being allowed to, you know, the people aren't up and screaming, but the mainstream media is just not doing their job. They're nothing more than a propaganda machine for the government. And the average person just doesn't go out there and look, and or they don't want to get involved. I'm not sure why. It's very, very frustrating. And, you know, we're seeing... I also saw, as I was doing a little web searching, that a reporter wanted to see if people in San Diego would sign a petition to grant immunity for all the laws President Obama broke. You wouldn't believe how many people signed it. This is insane. I don't know what the heck is going on. I don't know, you know, how we're going to stop it. And I'll pass it back over to you, Rodney.
Well, I think, you know, your point, how do we stop it? That's a good topic for discussion tonight, because I just think that Americans need to go back and read the Constitution. What was this country founded on? It is a simple document. It is not a living document. It is not up for negotiation. You know, one of my YouTube videos was talking about a message to the president that this document's not up for you to choose. You know, that's why I love having our sheriff, DeAgostini. I was in the U.S. Navy. We swore an oath of office to defend the Constitution, not change it, not interact with it. It's not a living document. It is how this country was founded. And I just think that, you know, Americans need to wake up. By the time you're pissed off that your rights have been infringed upon, it is too late to change them. We must stop it now. You know, it's talking tonight with Mark Moisier from the Tim Donnelly campaign for governor of California, and how important it is that we get a conservative in there that understands that California needs to change. We are absolutely bottom of the barrel, I guess you could say first place in almost everything. Highest gas prices, you know, actually we're not in first place in terms of gun violence. That's Detroit, but, you know, or Chicago. But reading the Constitution, getting involved, I've said it before, are you currently, you've had me say it for 3 weeks in a row now, how many people listening to the show have currently called a candidate running for school board or fire board or city council or parks and rec or CSD or something like that and getting involved with them? Our water board, especially in California, they want to take, as most of you know, the high-speed rail in California. Originally, it was voted on as a $9 billion project to put a train from San Francisco to L.A., all part of Agenda 21. And then it's now like a $300 billion project with a train from Madera to Bakersfield. And if anybody's not from California on the show, Google Madera and Bakersfield. I can see it now with the tourist attraction. Look, coming up on the left, another cow, you know, and it's not even going to be electrified, which makes it Amtrak, not a high-speed rail. But now they want to take our Delta, our water infrastructure of California, and divert water from the Delta, destroying it. First, they shut it down from the farmers and Congress created a dust bowl in California because they were trying to save a small fish. Now they just wanted to destroy the Delta completely to divert the water with an underground tunnel that is going to cost more, take longer to build, and be more detrimental to the environment than the New York subway system. And they think this is somehow okay. And people are just sitting back going, whatever. You know, imagine building a tunnel from Tampa to West Palm Beach, 60 feet underground to divert water. Except at least in Florida, you guys have to get past the alligators. We don't have those here.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's just driving me crazy. Yep, go ahead.
I'm not quite sure how you can fix it, except people need to start talking. People need to quit being afraid to discuss politics and being afraid to discuss what needs to be done with our country.
Oh, most definitely. When I was living out in California is when they were selling those damn windmills and telling us how much savings we'd get in our electric bill. Well, by the time we were done, we had the highest utility rates in the country. My average electric bill when I lived out in Palm Springs for a 1,400 square foot house was over $650 a month. And, you know, they thought it was fine. And, you know, it's just, that was one of the reasons I used to live in California. I'm back here now, and now our governor is all for this Common Core. And I'm sitting there going, why are you even considering it? It's like, what is the matter with you? And I didn't even get a reply from them. It seems that they think they have this big secret going on. They're going to, you know, weasel it past us. But slowly but surely, states are starting to wake up, thank God. And, you know, I'm going to start hopefully addressing this issue and saying enough is enough. You know, we're going to stand up for our own state rights, and no, you are not going to jam this down our throats. Because if we allow this to happen, as I said, we can kiss our nation goodbye. I'm fighting this tooth and nail over here in Florida. Jennifer, I guess you're back on.
The fact, Dan, that shocks me, because you would typically think, just stereotypically, Florida is a state supposed to be full of seniors who were alive back when America was great, World War II, World War I, and they remember the good days and America as a country of strength, supporting the rest of the world. And you would think that they want the best for their grandchildren. And they're the ones sucking up to Common Core, electing a governor who's going to destroy the state of Florida. It just absolutely shocks me. But, you know, with that, I mean, you've got Jen Montrose who's back. We want to bring Jen in. And she's been fighting on her own there all over the southern east section of America with Kay Carl and the Frederick Douglass Republicans. Jennifer.
Thank you. It's been a busy week. We've got this Common Core conference that's happening on the 16th and 17th of this month, Birmingham, Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama. And we're bringing in all these very well knowledgeable people on the subject matter of the true meaning of Common Core and why we need to stop it. I'm really, really excited about this event that we have going on in the state of Alabama. It's going to be a really grand thing. I think there's so many people that are that need to be educated. And what I'm discovering, because I'm talking to an individual in my state who is, you know, they reach out trying to ask other teachers and other school board people, you know, about Common Core. And some of these folks have been so trained and indoctrinated in how to deliver this message to keep Common Core from being tainted. They're not telling the stuff behind the scenes. You know, follow the money. And, you know, I think that because of what's been happening for years that we've been leading up to this, it is time for the lie to be exposed. And we've got some wonderful, wonderful patriots out there. Don Casey, who has really been fighting the fight to expose the true knowledge of Agenda 21, which I think is part of the backbone it's all including the Common Core standards as well. You know, if we can box Americans into a corner, you know, then there's and take guns away from people, you know, and remove our constitutional rights away from us. You know, we can have one rule government, and that's what you get when you have big government in control, you know, and they have a tendency to want to dictate things. And, you know, I'm ready to see us as a nation to stand up and fight and get off of the the plantation and really go out there and fight, you know, for our children. You know, and also when you think about, like, the health care bill that's, you know, the health care issue out there and stuff, I mean, what is that going to do for our grandparents? Or what is it going to do for parents who have twins? You know, and you got one that's not doing so well. what happens when, you know, the way the health care system is set up now, you got one child that's going to be left behind, and the way that the system is set up, you know, it doesn't allow for you to do all you can to save both babies. There's just a lot that I think that we need to educate And but I will tell you though that if we stay in this plantation, you know, mentality where it's the government's going to take care of me and give me everything, keep me well fed, keep me happy and fat, you know, then I don't have to want for anything. But at the end of the day, you know, when you want to have wealth distribution and you want to have, you know, all that to be able to have a sovereign nation where we're becoming a, you know, a nation that builds upon the key talents that we have around us, all that's going to go away. And I think it's time that we get up off the couch, you know, and we need to get active. I know that there's 1% of the population of America that seems to want to give a care about politics. But I'm telling you that if we don't elect our school board officials that are in support of doing all the things necessary that are going to, you know, better our children's education, if we don't get on board and elect our city council leaders that are going to be, you know, stop the Agenda 21 issue that we're having. You know, I got a friend of mine in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. When the tornado hit her, they had a company from Kansas City that came in, and they went to a city council meeting, and the property that her salon sits on was in prime real estate. She owned that outright. There's no mortgage on it or anything. It's her property. They wanted to just seize that and turn it into a memorial walking park. Didn't ask her permission or anything. They just said that they could do this, and she fought tooth and nail for it. Now she's become an advocate for, you know, stopping the Agenda 21, and she's a tremendously a big advocate for, you know, Stop Common Core too. So, you know, until it hits home with you, you just don't really know, you know, what you're dealing with. But there's, you know, there's the media propaganda that's out there that tries to say, you know, forever wild is a good thing because we're trying to save the animal. Okay, but you know, if we're trying to gather up all this land, you know, to put all these, you know, to make sure that we have enough property for the animals, when does it stop? And where do the people go? You know, we get all this land saved up that's become government property for all these animals, then where do the people live? See, you know, there's just a lot more that we need to be talking about and educating ourselves on. And I'm going to turn it back over to Rodney.
Okay. And, you know, that brings me right to the point here in El Dorado County, California. They had the National Park Rangers. Basically, they were working on shutting down dredging, keeping in mind that I live approximately 9 miles from where gold was discovered in California, Sutter's Mill, the birth of California and the gold rush. And right now with the price of gold, there were people dredging in the rivers to get gold. And it just so happens that actually it's been proven dredging removes mercury from the water. Well, the environmentalists came in, fought tooth and nail to get rid of dredging, and they were going out and arresting people and busting them and giving them tickets and all kinds of stuff. And come to find out, they pulled a swift maneuver. They couldn't quite beat them on just the issue. So they did away with the department that issues you your permit. So now you can get fined for not having a permit, but there's actually nowhere for you to go file a permit. So this woman who had property on the river was dredging. And next thing you know, she's being arrested and ticketed because she's dredging without a permit. And since then, with other complaints, our sheriff basically de-deputized the National Forest Service and told them they have no power in this county and they're not welcome, and took away their guns and everything else. But again, none of that would have happened if we hadn't focused on local elections, school board, fire board, CSD, water board, and our sheriff. We have a great sheriff who respects the Constitution, and that's what we need all across America. Because that sheriff is going to be our line of defense against the intrusion of the federal government. And there's no better way to put it than people need to get involved in local elections. We need to stop this infringement upon our rights, our constitutional liberty, and the very foundation of this country. Dan, take it away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you completely. on the dredging aspect, we've had two dredging projects. One was up in Hernando County, and where the environmentalists were fighting us tooth and nail. Eventually, we won out, and they allowed the dredging. There was another program down in Hudson where they were going to build a major resort. What they were doing is they were taking a portion of Suncoast Mine, a series of mines right along the Gulf of Mexico, and it had all flooded in, and all they wanted to do is cut a little area out so they could allow for deep water boats to come into the Hudson area, which would have done a wonderful job for us economically, but the environmentalists shut it down and the whole program was lost. This is how everything's going. And a few years ago, we had this guy come in, Governor Rick Scott, who promised us all these jobs, and he sounded like he would be a really good candidate. He's turning out to be worse than everybody else. He's going Common Core. He's not standing up for the people. You know, this state is filled with a bunch of seniors, people, you know, my age and older, who remember how it used to be. And no, we don't want this Common Core crap. We don't want the government to come in and take over our state. And yet our governor is allowing it. And I know one person I'm not going to vote for next election. I will fight him tooth and nail. It's he has sold us out big time. He was in charge of a major insurance company and supposedly brought up on charges that never went through. And he turned around, said he wants to stop pill mills, and he's forcing all, if you need a pain medication or psych medications, you have to go to these pain management or the psychiatrist. And what he's basically doing is he's hedging the market so that you can only purchase these drugs through these certain areas that he has vested interest in. And this is the way our government's being run right now. It's all on the dollar end. You know, our federal government, we know Benghazi right now, I'll put dollars to donuts that Boehner's blocking it because he was part of it. And people are not screaming enough. The members of the House are not doing anything. Nobody has the gumption to get up and stand up and do something. Why? Because we've allowed these little groups to form their monarchies inside the federal government because they've been elected and reelected, you know, 20 times. They've been in the House for 30 plus years. And they have these little power groups, and then they buy out the newcomers and they suck them into the system. We need a major house cleaning up in Capitol Hill, big time. And you turn around, you know, with these environmentalists, they aren't environmentalists, they're opportunists. They go out, they sell us down the river, like with this, the biggest scam ever to go on mankind has been global warming. Guess who made millions? Al Gore. And, you know, you look at Al Gore, who's preaching, you know, to save the environment and have everything being solar or wind energy. And if you look at President Bush's house, President Bush had a system put in for it's a water system that goes down into a deep underground, comes back up, heats and cools a house. through thermal pumps. He has a wind generator, solar power, and his house actually puts money back into the power companies. You look at Al Gore's house, his electric bill per month is $23,000. And this is just how it goes. And they don't, you know, the press looks the other way because they're all purchased by the system, as are the papers. You know, Gannett owns every major newspaper in the country. So they tell their reporters what to report, which means they're no longer reporters. They're just propagandists. And people believe the crap that's going on, you know, that the media is feeding them. Nobody's standing up and taking the time. Well, I can't say nobody, but we have maybe 5% of the country is actually aware of what's going on. And out of that 5%, only 1% are willing to get out there and do something about it. The thing, I don't know if any of you noticed, but when that plane crashed in San Francisco, did you see the member from the Department of Homeland Security? Well, first of all, what is DHS doing there in the first place? They were supposed to be an intelligence gathering group only. And the woman who's being interviewed from the Department of Homeland Security, she had a flak jacket on. Another thing I'd like to, as we're talking about the Department of Homeland Security, they've been purchasing ammunition. Well, you know what they've been purchasing? Hollow point bullets. They are, under the Geneva Convention, they are not allowed. And so it means this is not going out for our army, you know, our military. This is to be used inside this country. And if this doesn't scare the crap out of people, and along with the FEMA camps, that, you know, having visited Dachau, these FEMA camps look identical to Dachau, including the big chimneys that go way up. Well, what the heck are they for? You know, FEMA says it's to burn trash. That's a crock of baloney. Those are crematoriums. And they're talking about the possibility of eliminating 25 million people. Now, something's wrong here, people. You know, and the only line of defense we have as a nation is our Constitution, number one, and the state sovereignty. The Second Amendment allows us to have a well-regulated militia, meaning that we can create our own little armies that can prevent the federal government from coming in. And the Constitution, Second Amendment, was written specifically for that. And what I'm suggesting is that upon the 18th or 19th birthday of every citizen, they do a two-year stint in the local militia, which would be in their own hometowns. And on day one, they will be issued an assault rifle and a sidearm. At the end of the 2 years, they take that sidearm and that assault rifle home. And everybody does that, and we train our entire population, and we arm them so that we can protect ourselves. Because I'll tell you, it's going to come down to the point where the federal government's doing it right now in front of our faces, and we're doing nothing about it. Common Core is, I'm going to call it right what it is, it's Hitler Youth. They're training little Nazis who they can manipulate down the road. And so when they're of age, they're going to be following right along in the same system that Hitler had envisioned. And we have to stop it, and we have to stop it now. Because a few years from now, it's going to be too late. Jennifer, I'll pass it over to you now.
Thanks. Thanks, Dan. But I just, it's just, you know, it's really sad. The things that are happening in the nation today, it's things have got to change. And the big government plantation that we seem to be on now, things have just got to get, you know, if you look at what's on the television today, the things that are out there, I even understand, and I'll need to do a little bit more research, and maybe we can talk about this next Tuesday, but, you know, there are things in place that are already in place within the United States. They're doing missions in the inner cities, like down in Miami, where they're taking Blackhawks, and they're going in and doing test runs and stuff. And I know that I've seen some of that, heard about some of this on the radio, where people were kind of like, you know, like, what the heck is going on in my community? And they try, you know, these are like, you know, normally you would see these kind of things happening out in the desert, but they're actually bringing it in closer. You know, if you look at, you know, where we're going today with all the media propaganda that seems to be perpetrating, you know, I mean, we had what happened down in with the Trayvon Martin thing. You know, I want to know, okay, so people are wanting to boycott Florida. Why don't they boycott Chicago? You know, I just, what about all this black-on-black crime? You know, I just like, so, you got a problem with what happened down in Florida, okay? Well, I want to know, you know, why aren't we addressing the issues that are happening every day in our cities like Chicago, you know? And I mean, there's other things in the news that are happening all the time that are just not discussed. And, you know, you've got left media that dictate what they put out there on the, you know, on television. And you got people out there that watch this stuff, and just because somebody said it on the MSNBC, they believe it. And so we've got to get better at, you know, getting involved and engaging in our communities and our neighborhoods and stuff. And, you know, I mean, when the left starts paying people to go out and protest like they do with Planned Parenthood, I mean, the stuff that happened in Texas when they were, you know, the pro-life bill, and they had – I mean, it was. I mean, you could see. I mean, there was an actual ad that was posted, looking for people that wanted to get paid to come out and protest for this bill. Planned Parenthood was behind it, you know. And so we just have to keep on moving, keep on keeping on. As our friend, you know, D-Rock Country says all the time. And with that, I'm gonna pass it back to Robin?
Yeah. So, actually, I want to bring somebody into the show real quick that's helping me on the Tim Donnelly for governor's race. And Mr. Donnelly just wrote and got passed, and catch this, California has a two-thirds supermajority in both the Assembly and the Senate of liberals, able to take away almost every right we have, including their first target, Second Amendment. But Donnelly has AB 351, a bill which states the process of stopping indefinite detention under the NDAA and other so-called federal laws, has passed the state assembly by a vote of 71-1. There's actually liberals in California who understand that you cannot cross a certain line when it comes to infringing on our constitutional rights. Now the state Senate's going to take it up. But I want to bring in Glenn St. Thomas, who is on the line here to talk about this bill from soon to be, hopefully, Governor Tim Donnelly of California. Glenn?
Yes.
How are you today?
Pretty good.
So fill us in on AB 351.
Well, what I want to know is that why isn't this so important to all our politicians? This should be the most important thing that we should be voting on. And this should take the most attention. Everybody talks about starting things from the ground up and the grassroots. What's the point if you can't stop stuff like this being passed? And that's why I think that Mr. Donnelly is doing the right thing and working at this, something that this is so critical for our state. And I think that all the politicians should get behind this.
Absolutely. I notice here when it talks about his bill, the language of AB 351 goes far beyond what's been considered in almost every other state in America. It focuses solely on indefinite detention powers under the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act and nothing else. Donnelly's legislation broadens the scope by recognizing indefinite detention should not be complied with no matter what federal law is used to justify it. I think that's amazing that a 71-to-1 vote, but you're right. Why aren't other states taking up this cause?
It is, and I wonder what have you got any information of what kind of resistance you're going to have if it goes to the Senate?
Well, with the 71-to-1 vote in the Assembly, I would assume even our whack liberal two-third majority understand the importance of this. So I haven't heard yet, actually. I was hoping Mr. Donnelly would call in this evening, but he's actually on a plane right now from Southern California to Northern California, so he's unable to. But we will definitely keep you in the loop and look forward to hearing more about this. I hope it passes the Senate the same way it passed the Assembly by a huge majority.
We need to put the pressure on the governor.
Yes.
We need to put the pressure on all the senators. And luckily we have sheriffs like DeAgostini that he knows exactly what's going on. And we have a lot of Northern California sheriffs that are thinking the same thing as they see it coming. And this is critical for everybody to get behind this.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking to Mr. McClintock's people this evening and looking at the fact that back in 2005 was when the Supreme Court actually passed the decision on Kelo versus City of New London. And Jennifer, this goes to what you were talking about. He introduced an amendment. The Supreme Court broke with social compact by striking down one of America's most fundamental rights. The decision nullifies the constitutional public use clause and opens an era where the rich and powerful may use government to seize the property of ordinary citizens for private gain. And eminent domain is being used in absolutely the most ridiculous criminal intent conspiracy action I have ever seen in my life. With, you know, in Sacramento, they spent $80 million to help a developer come in, took the property from who owned it, and then gave it to the developer along with the money to build a nightclub and a strip bar.
Wow.
I'm thinking, how in the world is that in the public's best interest? Where does that fall under? And I'm just wondering, you know, thank God McClintock's back there fighting for it. But, Dan, you got any idea on this?
Well, eminent domain was never intended for casinos and strip joints. That's for darn sure. You know, it was originally put in times of war where the government would need to use a house, you know, like during the War of 1812, where at times residents were needed. And that's what the, you know, it was for the public's best interest and in time of warfare. It was not for personal gain for any given investor or something. And this is where our country's going, is that we're ignoring due process. Right now we can, if our government wants to, they can call anybody basically a terrorist, at which point they can hold them for as long as they want without bringing the person to court. You know, this is a travesty. You know, we're looking at our First Amendment. Our First Amendment is being ripped apart. you know, it's unless you're, I hate to say it, unless you're Islamic, basically you cannot, you have to practice your religion behind closed doors. And even then, they took one preacher who was holding a Bible class, and they arrested him on saying that his house was not set up for gathering
not
place.
Zoned correctly. Not zoned correctly.
Not zoned correctly, that's right. And, you know, they threw the guy in jail. Now, what's wrong with this? You know, people are not sitting here, you know, they are not totally enraged. If I lived in that community, I'd have a protest going out there, and we'd be in front of the damn city hall demanding the guy be released. This is, you know, our government is totally out of control. Nobody's taking the initiative to do anything. They're making a mockery out of our Constitution. So far, it's, you know, our First Amendment's basically gone. Our Second Amendment has been damaged very badly with all these laws they're attaching. And now, you know, they take the Trayvon Martin case, and since the racial issue didn't go as well as they wanted it to, now they change it to stand your ground. Stand your ground had nothing to do with this case. Yet the media takes this stand your ground thing and runs with it. And they are still prosecuting Zimmerman as if he was guilty. And, you know, they're trying to bring in the Department of Justice on civil rights violations. Well, we all know that doesn't have a chance. But you know something? This should never have been tried in by our media, but it was. And there are people who are uninformed that are believing the baloney that our media is feeding them through the federal government. Our president jumps in. When has a president ever jumped in on a vocal murder trial? I mean, and a attorney general. This,
when it's racially correct for him to use it against us.
That's basically what it was.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
This should never have gone anywhere near as far as it has, but it was pushed in by our federal government. Our federal government, for one thing, violated the Constitution by coming in and even saying anything. Holder did not have a constitutional leg to stand on when he contacted the district attorney and basically threatened him. But that's what they did. And whatever happened
to the last time the federal government stepped in to force the state.
Mm-hmm. He did.
The last time the federal government stepped in to force the state was in Alabama with segregation. And they just did it in Florida.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but what happened to state sovereignty? You know, it's the state is supposed to, unless the federal government passes an amendment and it's within the Constitution, the federal government doesn't have that right. And, you know, they're taking our Constitution and making a mockery out of it. This, you know, now they're taking the Fourth Amendment, and if they want to listen in to you, if they want to track, they're having down here in Florida, they're having these cameras that take pictures of your license so they know where your car is at all times, since it was made unconstitutional that they can't use GPS. Yeah, this is, and we're allowing this to happen. I mean, this is what's driving me crazy. Jen, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Well, I think that as far as the AB 351, I'd just like to say this is not a black and white issue. It's not a gay or anti-gay issue. It's not a male, female. This goes to everybody. no matter what position you take or what way you vote, this is so critical to you, just everybody's freedom. And that's why we need to get everybody behind this and stop being divided, because that's the way the federal government wants to be, constantly divided and fighting with each other. And I just want to mention that, and I'll let you guys talk.
Thank you, Glenn. And you make a great point before I give it over to Jen that, you know, Lincoln talked about a house divided cannot fall, and McClintock quotes it constantly. And
Yeah. We're
so worried about infighting amongst ourselves over insignificant things that bypass the very fact that while we're fighting over stupid stuff, they are taking away the major rights that our Constitution and our country is founded on. Jennifer?
Okay.
Yes, you're so right. You know, they got it so twisted, you know, with they just got it so twisted about what's really going on in this country. And I applaud, you know, those of us that are out there on the front line, especially those that are in office now that are trying to make a difference. You know, we've got to do what we need. We're going to be having, in Alabama, we've got a lady coming to speak at our the Alabama Republican Assembly meeting that's going to be speaking on HB 360, the heartbeat legislation bill. They're wanting to put into place in Alabama to recognize that from the minute that you can hear a heartbeat from a sonogram, once they do that, then that's considered a life, that is considered a human being. And I want to see that happen all across the United States. I know that we're probably going to be met with the same mess that Planned Parenthood seems to spread all over the United States. But I think that, you know, you guys got it cut out for you in California. A lot going on there that, you know, I think if we had more people like Rodney and others that are, you know, out there on the front lines, and Scott and others making a difference, I think we could really change things around, and we could even change things, you know, in San Francisco and some of the other places that are just, you know, it's not about, I mean, when you talk about racism and stuff, I mean, it doesn't have a face, you know. There's no political party to that. I mean, you know, it's we've got to get back to putting people in principle over party and politics. I'm a big believer in limited government, respect for life, belief, you know, in the Constitution, and respect for the Constitution and individual responsibility and all those things. You know, we've got to get back to those. And I think the last person we had in office for president was Ronald Reagan, that really, you know, he started out where he went against the grain. People didn't think that, you know, he would really have a chance. But, you know, he really stood solid on his conservative values, you know, and the people spoke, and he was elected, you know. And so I think that once much more people get out there and begin to realize that if we, you know, just be honest. And I think that's what people are looking for, you know, at the end of the day. With that, I'm going to pass it on to Rodney.
Okay, yep. You know, and that's a good point. I mean, I'm glad Glenn called in, because it's fun to see California taking the lead on something like indefinite detention. Dan talked about earlier with the these camps. They're claiming it's for the people. They're not for the people. They're against the people. And if the federal government is able to implement indefinite detention, how many constitutional rights does that give up? I wish we had the Agostini on the phone right now, because, you know, your right to search and seizure, your right to a quick court date and a trial, your right to Mirandize, it all goes away with the indefinite detention. They sit there and they say, basically, they make you an enemy of the state, and they can arrest you. And the people within your state or around you, you know. God forbid you're in a group having a rally and you could be thrown in jail. I mean, and Dan was right. This goes back to Germany,
the Jews and Hitler. You know, and what was the first thing he did? Give us your guns or tell us you have them that we simply know where they're at. Next thing you know, nobody's got them. If you think the Second Amendment is about assault rifles and hunting ducks in a pond, you're dead wrong. You're absolutely uneducated, dead wrong. The Second Amendment is about your right to defend yourself against an oppressive government that has stepped beyond its constitutional right and implemented laws upon you that are not fair, not correct, and not within our Constitution. That's what the Second Amendment's about. And you think it's otherwise, you absolutely got to be crazy, because I can guarantee you, if there's a man out there and he wants to go kill people at a local public area, 7 bullets in a clip versus 6 bullets in a clip will not change his mind. Dan?
I agree with you completely, Rodney. If you look at the Second Amendment, it doesn't say, it doesn't start out with right to bear arms. It starts out a well-regulated militia. And it was written that way for a reason. What the intent of the Second Amendment was entirely to protect the community and protect the state. The whole idea behind the Second Amendment is that that every county has a small militia that is run by the county first, the state second, in the event that a tyrannical federal government, like ours is right now, decides to try to take over, that we can mount that each state, being sovereign, has the right to protect itself and to use its militia to stop any aggressive action from the federal government. Now, if every state has its own militia, then the federal government can't do anything. And that was the whole intent behind the Second Amendment, was to keep the federal government in check. And that's why I'm pushing so hard. If you read one of my blogs, one of my posts, I think it was the day before yesterday, it was specifically on that. And it's why I'm pushing for the 2-year term for right after a student graduates from high school, that they serve the community. And we can use the militia in times of peace to help out with snow, blizzards or hurricanes or any other natural, you know, disasters. They can help out in, you know, community service, helping the community. And also in the process, what we're doing is we're training these people. So in the event, even after they've served their 2 years term limit, in the event that the government decides to aggressively take over, the citizens itself can mount a defense. Everybody can. That's why I wanted them to have their weapons when they leave. So in the event of, if we look at, let's take Lexington and Concord, it was local people with their own arms that went out and met the British. And they slowed them down in Lexington enough that the county people could get together and mount a force. So when they met at the river in Concord, they actually could, they mounted a strong enough defense that by the time the British retreated, they had lost 2/3 of their battalion that went in to try to take over. That's how we won the revolution. It's people with their own weapons taking on the British. And if we do not do that, if we do not take this seriously and get our militias going, thank God the state of Florida last year all the sheriffs from every county in the state of Florida signed into this, that if the federal government decides to come into the state of Florida, that the police forces from every county in the state are going to move north and mount a defensive perimeter. And what I am saying is that we need more than that. We need to have local militias also who can also send people. And this way the federal government is not going to get anywhere. And we need to do that with every state, you know, Georgia, Alabama, every state. And the more we get involved with that, the more that we push the state militias. And we need to do this on the local level, because it needs to start at the county, and you know, and we need the support group to start there so we can go to the state legislators and get that passed and get the militias moving. Until we do that, you know, right now we're just going to be staring at each other. The federal government has a big jump on us right now, and we got a lot of ground to make up, and we got to do it quick. Jen, what do you think about that?
I agree. I agree. I think that the further we get away from our constitutional values, the closer we get to a one rule government. And I'll share something with you that's going on with us here that really appalled me. The Women Republican Federation wanted to give out pocket constitutions to all the fifth graders in the county here. They had to jump through some hoops and get permission from school board officials just to be able to hand out for free pocket constitutions to every fifth grade student this coming year. They were going to also offer to all the teachers, school teachers, they were going to offer a lesson plan for all of them as well. And I just, you know, there was a time when I remember when I was in school that in order to graduate, you had to be tested on the Constitution. You had to know you had to really know it. And now we're having to jump through hoops and fight to allow pocket constitutions into our public schools. At least in Tuscaloosa County, is that way. And, you know, we're saying we want to, you know, because we're looking at the age range of the student. We're not trying to do this for every grade. We're just doing it for the fifth grade. And here, is, you know, they're going to jump into middle school, go straight into middle school. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. You know, and it took an elected official, a representative, John Merrill, who used to work for the school board, to go to bat for us, to convince some people that this is not a bad thing, that they should allow this to happen. What has happened in our nation when, you know, we have, I mean, I know our founding fathers are rolling over in their graves. I mean, we've got people that don't even have a clue when they go out there protesting that we should have our guns removed. I mean, the right to bear arms. I don't own a gun. I'm not trained on how to shoot a gun, so I don't own one for those reasons. I just think it's dangerous, you know. I want the right to be able to do that if I want to, you know. Otherwise, if I don't have that right, then the only people that are going to try to take that right is the hoodlums on the street, you know, and I don't want that, you know. But there's something that we've got to do here. We've got to wake up. I mean, our forefathers fought so hard. I mean, those people in that little church prayed, you know, that when the ships were coming over, the British ships were coming over, that they would sink, you know. And it seems like our school system has gone to, you know, to heck in a handbasket. I mean, you know, it's really gone to pot since we stopped allowing prayer in school. And now I understand that there are some schools that are saying that we need to allow for Muslims to have their prayer time in school. And I'm like, this is the United States of America. You know, you come here and you learn our rules. That's what Frederick Douglass talked about. You know, learning the rules of our constitution, our governmental system. You know, and I'm just, it's time. I get so frustrated sometimes, but that's what keeps me moving. I have an 11-year-old son, and that's the thing I love. You know, when I first met Dan, you know, he was all about protecting our Constitution, and we had a lot of discussions, you know, about history lessons and stuff, you know, and, you know, when you've got a college students, you know, professors asking them, how many of you have actually read the Constitution? And most of them could say no. What? Because it's not being pressed upon them that you have to learn this stuff, you know? And when you remove the knowledge from people and you dumb people down, that's when you have an opportunity for people like Hitler to show up again, you know? And anyway, I'm on my soapbox. I'm going to pass it over to Rodney.
Well, actually, you know, Dan brought up a good point. Well-regulated militia. So that the people had their weapons, and you talked about how when we defended the country during the Revolutionary War, you know, they don't even teach this in school anymore. The very first military, the U.S. Marines, November 10th, 1775, Robert Moulin, the proprietor of the tavern and son of Peggy Moulin, commissioned by an act of Congress to raise the first two battalions of Marines. Where did he find them? It just so happened that Moulin, Nicholas, and the tavern known as Toon Tavern in Philadelphia is the birthplace of the United States Marine Corps, because there were men there that had weapons and they needed them. And then you also had the first Army, which was the Culpeper Minutemen, which became the first U.S. Army by Act of Washington. These were men who carried weapons because they wanted to defend their country against an oppressive government. That's why the Second Amendment was written years later, because of things like how the Marine Corps was born. And I'm proud beyond belief to say my son is now U.S. Marine Corps. And it's an amazing feeling watching him graduate boot camp and now home from school to begin his career as a Marine. And I was Navy. And this country was founded with blood, sweat, and tears. People need to stop sitting on their butt thinking it's okay, it's not affecting me right now, because like I said earlier, by the time it does affect you, it's too late. So I don't know how else to put it, but get off your butt, people, and get engaged. Our country is at stake. Dan?
Yeah, oh, I agree completely. You know, if we look at even the signing of the Declaration of Independence, I heard Stacy had mentioned how a professor was saying that this country was founded by rich, greedy people who were trying to make an experiment for big business. And he used for his argument saying that everybody, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, were all rich people. Yeah, most of them were, but track down their family lineage. They go back to the Mayflower, back to the original settlements where they had nothing, where they were starving to death, and they scraped the ground, and eventually, you know, some people ended up making larger plantations, and they were, you know, as our economy formed, originally formed on agriculture, because it's the only thing we had it back then. And yeah, a few people got wealthy. Then those people, but they had that vision of what they wanted this nation to be. They had this belief in freedom, freedom of religion. You know, they had a belief that the only thing that holds you back from making it rich as yourself. And they believed with all their hearts. So when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they knew that even though they were wealthy at the time, they knew that they were putting every cent they had on this ideal. Out of the original 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 5 lost their lives in the revolution. Every single one of them had their houses burned down. 75% of that group lost their entire fortunes because they were funding the revolution. That was never reimbursed by the federal government. Every single person who signed the Declaration of Independence was destitute by the end of the revolution. Why? Because they believed in a dream. They lost their children. They lost their wives, their husbands. They lost everything. They had so much that they could have sat back and lived on Easy Street for the rest of their lives. But that belief and that drive said, no, we can't do that. And we're going to stand up against a tyrannical government, and we're going to say no. And these people, the sacrifices that were made, people don't realize today. They don't know what went into our revolution, how our revolution was funded by our own people. And, you know, our government, even to the point where in 1812, Jackson was ordered by the federal government to take his militia from Kentucky down to New Orleans. 3/4 of the way down, the federal government said, we don't need you, send them back. And Jackson asked for money, and the federal government said no. Jackson funded himself to bring his soldiers back home. He put his house on the line. He never actually regained any of the money he put out. But this is the type of people we had. And today, as Jennifer said, you know, she's doesn't own a weapon because she was never trained. If we had a trained militia, a well-regulated militia, where every single citizen was trained how to use a weapon, then, you know, Jennifer would feel comfortable about owning one. And the same thing with, you know, assault rifles and sidearms. If we're going to be able to protect ourselves, sorry, they have to be fully automatic, just like the federal government would be coming after us. They can't have any of these stupid laws passed by a liberal Supreme Court that doesn't even think about what they were doing, how they were undermining the Constitution by adding these laws onto our amendments. They're totally ignoring this constitutional process. You know, the Constitution says if you want to make a change to an amendment, you write another amendment. It's real simple. But the problem is it requires a higher a number of people in Congress to agree to it. And the Supreme Court knew that, so they said, okay, we'll just say the heck with the Constitution and we'll just go right around it. Jennifer and I have had a lot of conversations on this in the past. And, you know, how she knows how I get all worked up when I'm talking about, you know, our history and our Constitution. It's because they're making a mockery out of it. And we need people to stand up against that. They're taking our children and they're turning them into little robots who are going to be able to be manipulated, and they won't even know it. And the thing will happen is next thing you know, we're going to blink our eyes, and you think Detroit's bad. It's going to be that way all over this country. And if we go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you talk about
these people that formed our country losing everything they had to defend our Constitution and to give us our rights that we currently live by that we're losing every single day. And I loved last year, one of the Facebook posts was, you know, I'm supposed to worry more about what Romney does with his own money than what Barack Obama's doing with mine. And people just, you know, they talk about, you mentioned that the evil rich people, the terrible rich people. It's like, if you exclude the Hollywood idiots,
yeah.
the top 4% richest people in America employ 70% of Americans. And how is that bad? If you own a business, you own it by employing people. And I could never comprehend why that's a terrible thing. But I want to say we have a very special guest on the show tonight. I've talked about him many, many times on this show, the El Dorado County Sheriff, Mr. John DeAgostini, who has been at the forefront of defending the Constitution in my county. I am proud to have worked on his campaign and to say welcome, John, as we talk about defending our Constitution in America and why it's so important. John.
Thank you, Rodney. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. So what are we going to talk? Are we talking about the Constitution?
We're talking about the Constitution. We've been talking the entire night of how, you know, it's almost as if Americans are asleep at the wheel and not understanding that our constitutional rights are being infringed upon on a daily basis. And as I've said before, you got to step outside your comfort zone. You've got to engage and get involved. You can't just sit by. By the time you're upset, your rights are gone. It's too late to do anything about it. And it's like people don't understand how important our Constitution is or why we have it.
No, you're absolutely right. The biggest reason, I think, is we aren't teaching it in our schools. People don't even understand what the Constitution says. They don't read it. You know, I was fortunate to be able to give a Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence in a small book to every employee of the El Dorado County Sheriff's Office. And I, with the instruction to read it, that it's not that difficult to understand. Our founding fathers were smart enough to put it in very simple language that we could all understand. And, you know, I think that all of the, you know, from the Supreme Court down to local courts, every time you hear, well, they got to interpret the constitutionality of this, got to interpret the constitutionality, they have interpreted things so liberally over the past decades that we have lost and gotten so far away from what the founding fathers' intentions were. It's what your previous caller was just talking about regarding the Second Amendment. That Second Amendment wasn't in there for hunting. It wasn't in there for personal protection or any of that. It was in there to protect us from a tyrannical government. They were very clear. If you read the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, it spells it out very clearly. There is no confusion on it. Yet the Supreme Court frequently interprets it in a different way. And that just, I can't understand it.
Oh, I agree with you.
Thank you.
Pardon me from butting in here, but in the Constitution, the Second Amendment is spelled out in black and white. It's real simple. The Federalist Papers even make it clearer. And, John, what do you think about forming local militias like I was talking about with having students at, you know, their 18th birthday doing a two-year service program within their local communities so that they are prepared for an attack from our federal government?
I don't have a problem with that at all. As a matter of fact, there are groups in El Dorado County that frequently get together and they practice at the range and they take their firearms training and proficiency very seriously. Now, to make it mandatory, you know, and do something like Switzerland has, I believe it's Switzerland, you know, I don't know if we want to go that far as a nation to make a requirement, another law, another regulation, but I believe it absolutely is the people's right. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The first part of that, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. It's very clear. If people are willing to and have the means to and want to and can, I highly encourage them to do that. Always have, always will. You know, unfortunately, the PC world, everything's, you know, you got to be PC. You got to be PC. If you mention the word militia, all of a sudden you're going to be on a watch list somewhere. That's ridiculous. We've allowed this to happen to our nation, and I say we, even those of us, and I'm just as much to blame, Rodney, I know we all are. We have always been on the defense when it has come to these kinds of issues, and it's time to stand up and go on the offense. And I'm not talking violence or anything like that. I'm talking get out there and work as hard as the other side works on their issues. We need to be working as hard as they are on our side of the issues. Make sure that we're vetting and finding good candidates from local office, from the school board, all the way to the president, that we're asking those tough questions. When I ran for sheriff, people asked me that question. What does the Constitution mean to you? Unfortunately, not too many people asked me that question. I wish a lot more people would have, because that's the bottom line of our government. You know, I constantly hear the word democracy. We're in a democracy. We don't live in a democracy. We're a republic. We're a democratic republic. Nowhere did our founding fathers set this country up to be a democracy. It was set up to be a republic, because that's the only way that it will work. Democracy is mob rule. Mob rule does not work. But back to your question about the militia. As long as we... law-abiding citizens, if they want to form a group and train to protect themselves from a tyrannical government, that's their absolute right per the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
Right.
What I was thinking is
that here in Florida, all the sheriffs agreed that if the federal government invaded our state, they would put up a mounted force against them. And I was just thinking to back up and support the police, that the militia should work with the police departments closely. So the ones that are, you know, in agreement that the Constitution is number one, that they can work in conjunction with each other. That's the only reason I was thinking about making it a state mandatory thing, not a federal.
Yeah, that's a good point. But here's another argument against that. I'm not going either way. But I thought about this too. If you want to think about it, I being sheriff and my agency, we are the government too. And the militia, the true militia, should be and may be separate from all of that. Now, you know, if things and people ask me that all the time. You know, sheriff, what are you going to do if they ever come? Well, who's they? Well, the military. Well, I firmly believe that the military, they are us. I really don't see that happening. Our own military fighting our own people on our own soil. They say, well, that happened in the Civil War. Well, not really. That was we didn't have the ability to travel and get around like we did today. So those friendships and those bonds weren't as strong or different than they are today. But, you know, then the next question obviously comes, well, what if it's a foreign nation, like with some of it with the UN stuff? And, you know, maybe that's possible. But then we'll still have our own forces here. Where I'm blessed to be the sheriff in El Dorado County, where I'm fourth generation born and raised here in the foothills of California between Sacramento and South Lake Tahoe, in that if anything happens, I firmly believe if anything happens or is going to happen, it is going to start in the more urban areas, meaning for me, more like San Francisco, LA, or maybe even Sacramento. That will give us an opportunity. We will see those things coming. But as far as, you know, the militia, I think, and that argument, I think, has some validity to it, that it needs to be separate from all branches of government, including local government, because as we all know, across this nation, there are even agencies, I'm sure, that are on the complete opposite side of how I feel. And those are things that, you know, we all need to keep in mind. It's easy in the Constitution. It doesn't say a militia by the government. It doesn't even say, it says a militia necessary for the security of a free state. I'm not sure. The state is of the people. The state's not of, I'm talking in circles right now, but I just think it should be separate.
Okay, I understand. Jennifer?
Do we have Jen?
Yes, I'm here. I had myself on mute. I was listening to what he had to say. You know, we have a, I've been noticing on you know, a lot of different places where there, the groups that are springing up, that are doing all this organic growing of food as best as they can. You know, I think with Monsanto's, it's kind of hard to know exactly what's considered organic and what's not, because they've contaminated so much, you know. But there seems to be a growing number of people that are out there prepping for the day that comes, you know, when they're going to need to have all their ducks in a row to prepare for, you know, the potentials of what the way our nation looks like it's going. You know, and so I'm in agreement. I said, you know, when it comes to our own American militia, if we do not take responsibility for our own, who else is going to do that for us? And I can guarantee you that we do not have, you know, the Taliban that's going to support us. You know, and I mean, we've got the immigration problem that we have right now with this immigration bill. I mean, it's atrocious to see what could happen. You know, if we allow immigrants who do not have the illegal aliens to come into our borders and have the rights, the same rights as I do. I grew up here. You know, my father bought and paid for. You know, he was the Air Force man. You know, we've got so many now, like the SEAL Team 6. You know, we got so many of our troops now. It is like, I can remember talking to some of my Native American family, my Native American friends, and they remember what it was like as elders during the Vietnam War when the soldiers came home and they were spit upon, you know, and it's almost like we're reverting back to some of that. You know, and these men and women are fighting for our freedoms, to keep our Constitution alive, to keep us a free nation. And we have, you know, people that are saying, that are telling us, you know, they're spitting on the Constitution, you know, the reverence to putting your hand over your heart when you say the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, in our national anthem, those things, you know, I just, you know, our flag, what is the meaning of our flag? Do students these days really understand the stars and stripes? They understand the meaning of the Star Spangled Banner? You know, what it took, the history of the making of America? You know, there's a lot of interesting stuff in that is chock full of, you know, good stuff, I think, that we could really learn from, you know. And our forefathers, I was talking to a gentleman down in Arizona. He runs a charter school. He teaches in a charter school. And every 2 years they take their seniors on a trip through the Freedom Trail. And he said that in order to be able to have prayer in school, they used the prayers that were mentioned in history books. That the founding fathers prayed for and stuff and used. And, you know, so for us to say that prayer in schools should not be allowed, it's ludicrous to me, you know. So I want to hear your thoughts on, you know, the things that, what's going on within the school system, what's happening in California as far as, you know, educating about our history and stuff. I'm a big advocate of we don't need to forget where we came from. You know, we need to understand that, and our children need to understand that. You know, and if we stop teaching that, you know, if we, I know there's a movement that's trying to remove a portion of history, like, you know, that was then, and it's not happening now, so what's the big deal? But, it, you know, if we don't forget where we come from, I think we are going to be doomed to repeat some of the same chapters in history, and people are going to wake up one day and wonder, what happened? You know, and, it, you know, so anyway, pass it back.
That question for that question's for me. Well, you say if we get to the point where we're not teaching it, we're doomed. You know, the nation's doomed. Jennifer, we haven't been teaching it in our schools for decades. People don't understand. They don't read the Declaration of Independence. They don't read the Constitution. They don't read the Bill of Rights. They haven't done that for years, unfortunately, in our schools, and that's the problem where we are today. Kids, our national anthem, this next generation that's coming up, and for mostly our generation, don't understand what happened on that night when we were asking our Star Spangled Banner, is our flag still there, and what this whole story behind that was, and what it meant to this country. That next morning when that flag was still standing and there were bodies holding it up. That's the only reason it was still standing. We don't teach any of that. That's why it's up to us at this time in history to start teaching it, to start preaching it, to start talking about it. And that's why I say we need to vet these right candidates. And I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but, you know, talking to your neighbors, talking to the your people at the beauty salons, at the barbershops, at the grocery stores, at the gas pumps. Start talking about it. This dialogue needs to happen. There's a lot of people out there right now that are talking about an Article 5 convention that would really like to see that. I'm very, very hesitant about that because with the lack of knowledge out there of what this country was founded on and what it's supposed to be and what the Constitution actually says, people won't make an informed decision when they're voting on these types of things to ratify an amendment to the Constitution. I'm not sure if that's such a wise thing. If we can get it back into our schools, if we can start teaching our youth, then maybe we can turn this around. But we can only do that if we get the right people sitting in school boards throughout this nation to help fix that in our public school system. That's another thing that, you know, the feds are so involved in our public schools. Nowhere in that Constitution does it say that the feds should be in our public schools. That's a state issue. If one state has bad schools, people will move to a state that has good schools. That's good that's good business. That's good what's the word I want, Rodney? That will work. But the feds have their fingers in everything. And if you go back to the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8, Congress has their authority that they have, what they can do, if it's not in there and they're doing it, they shouldn't be doing it. And that's why we got to vet these candidates and get good candidates that understand the Constitution. We might not agree with some of them. But at least if they understand the Constitution and what's in there and they get it, at least we're getting back to the basics of where we should be and bring this nation around. Because right now, I agree with all of you, we are heading in the wrong direction. As you know, Congressman Tom McClintock, who I've met many times, he's a good man. This nation will survive. He's very optimistic. I'm very optimistic. It's not in our DNA as Americans to do anything but survive. And we have that freedom in our blood from over 200 years ago. And we'll get there. It's just, I hope that it's not violent. I hope that it is through the ballot process. I hope that it is through the education process and people start getting that fire to start learning about this country and not just about what's on TV tonight, not just where they're going out to dinner tonight, or if their welfare check's going to come in tomorrow.
John, I want to thank you so much. I know you have a deposition. Jen has one more question, but our wonderful sheriff has to get back to work for tomorrow. But, Jen, go ahead.
I just want to say thanks. Thanks again. I remember it where I was in 1976. I was in the seventh grade, and it was the bicentennial year, and we were really, really, as a nation, celebrating that. And all the schools all across the nation were having their own, you know, events for it. And it was a big deal, and there was a lot of pride in 1976. And people were portraying characters from that era of 1776. You know, we had hit that bicentennial year, you know. In Saturday morning cartoons were all about, you know, Schoolhouse Rock.
That's where you learned the preamble, wasn't it?
That's where I learned the preamble. And I will tell you that my son is 11 years old, and when I'm not looking at the television screen and I just hear the Saturday morning cartoon content, I am appalled. I mean, and people look at SpongeBob and think that it's not that big of a deal. But the left have become so smart in understanding that if you put the pictures out there to make them look harmless, just like they had, you know, back in the day when they put Martin Luther King and they had Kennedy on the same picture, okay? So people that don't know how to read look at that and they think, yeah, that's a great pair. That's, you know, that's unified, you know, but when you really take a look at what's underneath all of that, I mean, they were totally separate from this. They did not have the same values, you know. but we have become so far removed from that, you know, and so I agree with you that we've got to do more to inspire activism in our community. Go to our coffee shops and get more people involved. I mean, that's one of the reasons that, you know, I'm a member of the Republican Assembly, is because we go into, you know, during the primary, and we find candidates. But if you don't value our Constitution, we want you out of office, and we are going to be loud, and squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know. And that's one of the things, you know, I think is very key. But if we don't, as adults, if we don't have the examples to pave the way for our children, then, you know, what do they got to look forward to? You know, so I just wanted to say thank you for your efforts of what you're doing. And we need more people like you that are willing to take a stance, you know, and stand up for that people and principle, you know, because that at the end of the day, you know, that is what made our great nation. You know, Lincoln was inspired by Frederick Douglass. He agitated him long enough that he began to see that slavery needed to go, you know, and we need more patriots out there that are willing to take a stand like that. And so I just want to thank you.
Thank you. They are out there. So I'll leave you all a little bit of homework. Read the Declaration of Independence from the Second Constitutional Congress on July 4th, 1776, our day. And you go in there and you read that document and you read all the grievances that they were grieving back then against the crown, and look at where we are today. And you can make your own judgment on that. So, Rodney, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it. I got to get back to work.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate you coming on, and I'll see you soon. Thank you very, very much.
Talk to you later.
Great. Bye. Thanks, John.
So, Dan, we're running up. 21 minutes to go till 9 o'clock, and I want you to jump in now. I'm so excited. I ran in the house looking at my wife going, John's going to be on the show. I'm so proud of him to be my sheriff. I'm almost giggly like a kid in a candy store or a kid at home, or, you know, an adult male at Home Depot.
But, you know, and then it's just awesome. And Jennifer, your passion. I got text messages on my phone from people going, we're listening. That lady is amazing. You know, your passion for the Constitution and having John on the show. Tonight's show is just amazing. And sorry, Scott's too sick to be here because I know he's just going crazy wishing he was in this. So, but Dan, take it away.
Well, I agree. You know, Jennifer and I have talked about the Constitution many, many times, and it's, to me, it's everything. We have to return our nation back to its origins. And what John was saying is 100% correct, is that, well, first we need to put God in the middle of our country again and not treat him like a dirty word. As they're being taught, you know, being taught today, the children of today need to be taught they need to start saying the Pledge of Allegiance again, and every one of them should listen to that Red Skelton skit, which describes the pledge down to a T. I never heard a better analysis of what the Pledge of Allegiance means. Also, they need to know the story behind Old Glory and our flag and why it is so important and why it is the foundation of this nation. They don't realize that Francis Scott Key was actually being held captive at the time of that battle. And when he was looking over at the fort and the rockets shooting above, lighting up, and there the flag was, and they initially had a smaller one. They asked for a bigger one to be raised just so all the people could see. And come morning, through a lot of blood, that flag was still there. And I get choked up about it, you know, when I think about it. And the sacrifices made for that flag. And ever since that battle, and the Old Glory has stood for that. And we think about the raising of the Stars and Stripes in Iwo Jima on Mount Suribachi. How many, that original photograph that later Felix de Welden made into that famous sculpture that we see in Arlington, do you realize only 3 people survived after the Battle of Iwo Jima? I went to the American Cemetery. Again, the Stars and Stripes was flying up right where she should have been, right on top. And I looked over, and I saw 5,101 men who gave their lives for this nation, who will never again step foot on our American soil, because they gave their lives defending our country and our way of life. World War II, 460,000 people died. During the Civil War, 687,000 died. We lost 42,000 in Korea. We lost 58,000 in Vietnam. All these people, Thomas Jefferson said it best. He said, the road to freedom is paved by the blood of patriots. And that Amen. Is so true. And people don't realize the sacrifices that were made. And we need to teach in our schools today what truly happened. How the Revolutionary War, how during in Valley Forge, how men marched barefooted in the snow, and they followed the tracks of the people in front of them because of the blood that was being left out from their footprints. How many people, during that winter, how many people died from exposure just so our nation could survive. They don't understand the sacrifices, how everybody laid everything on the line for them. Even in my day, they said, Paul Revere said, the British are coming. No, they didn't say the British were coming. They said the regulars, or they called them lobster backs. They don't realize that that we've been fighting against Muslims since 1790 in the Barbary Wars. They don't realize the first military action we took abroad was in Tripoli. I hate to point this group out, but if you look at even the beginning of the Dark Ages, it was because of the Muslims making a move towards trying to take over Europe. And this is not the first time they've done this, and they try to push themselves off as a peaceful religion, and they haven't been. They've been this way for over 1,000 years. And we need to stand up, stop allowing our nation to be dictated by these people. And they should be treated as, they should be treated as combatants. Our children today need to be taught. The Constitution should be brought on day one in first grade. We need to bring back Schoolhouse Rock, you know, where these kids can listen to, you know, the Constitution, how a bill makes it through Congress, you know, how a bill becomes a law. They need to start studying the Constitution from day one. So by the time they're graduated from high school, they know fully what's going on and how the political system works and what our Constitution was designed to do and why it has worked so well for 200 years. And sadly, you know, there's a small group that has been undermining it for years, and we've sat here complacent. And I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I thought my constitutional obligation was just to show up and vote and do my research and vote on my candidate. And I dropped the ball, too. But I, after the last, after the end of the Bush administration, I said it was time to, time for me to step up and start doing something. And I joined the Cain campaign and been active ever since. And, you know, Jennifer and I have known each other for a while now, and, you know, together we've been fighting the fight for a long time, and I'm not going to stop the fight until we win or they plant me in the ground, and I refuse to give up. It's my country, you know, our country means too much, and I call it my country because it is my country, just like it's yours. Rodney and Jennifer and Scott and everybody else. It's our country. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let some tyrannical government take that away from me. And they are not going to take away my rights. And they are not going to take away the sovereignty of my state. And I will die defending that. And since I'm on, already on a hate list because I mentioned militia,
Dan, you're always welcome in El Dorado County, and so is Jennifer and Scott and everybody else, because up here we'll see it coming and we'll be prepared for it. But I want to go into something here. First of all, Jennifer, I was almost in tears. You talked about 1976 and the bicentennial, and that was probably the first time I ever decided two things in my life. I want to be involved in politics, and I'm a Republican, and I want to be in the Navy like my grandfather.
I was almost in tears when you were talking about 1976 because my grandfather put me on a float. He was former Navy, and the majority of the men he served with and grew up with died in Pearl Harbor, but he had retired 3 months earlier. I rode in a float for the Navy and the Marines in Vallejo, California in 1976, and that the day I graduated high school, I joined the U.S. Navy and wanted to follow my grandfather's footsteps since 1976. So kind of hard to talk about because he was my biggest hero. But I want to go into something different. We have an assemblywoman out here in California named Melissa Melendez, and she's former U.S. Navy too. I've liked her since the day I met her. And she just put a post up on Facebook that absolutely, this is what I'm going to have to call my weekly Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Report. Okay? And everybody knows what that means.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Lawmakers in Congress are currently battling over a law to force the military to create chaplains for atheists. And as I put here in the article, I, you know what not, effort to create a chaplain for atheists and humanists has been building over the last several weeks. While the title might not sound inherently contradictory, supporters say the point is to give atheists in the military someone who will proactively reach out to them and facilitate meetings. Oh, my word. Oh, God.
In a pig's ear.
Yeah. Like I said, this is my Whiskey Tango Foxtrot right here. They don't believe in God, but they want their own chaplain. And the military is supposed to create it for them. What in the world is this country coming to? This is what we're fighting over in Washington while Obama is erasing our Constitution on a daily basis, creating a chaplain for atheists. Oh, now... talk about blood that's boiling. When it comes to the idea of an atheist chaplain, which is an oxymoron, it's self-contradictory. What you're really doing is now saying that we're going to replace true chaplains with non-chaplains, said sponsor Representative John Fleming, Republican from Louisiana. It's total nonsense, the idea of having a chaplain who is an atheist. Thank you, Representative John Fleming from Louisiana. And what do we got here? Oh, my word. Who wrote this? I just got this from Melissa Melendez that just posted on her Facebook page, and I went, what? So, Jennifer, at this point, I'm going to let you take this. Jen still with us? All right, Dan, your turn.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Chaplain for atheists, Jen.
My volume on my computer was acting up, so I was having to turn it down.
There's a move in Congress to create chaplains for atheists in the military.
You know, that is so ridiculous. Because, you know, either if you got to stand for something or you fall for anything. You know, and if you don't believe in God, you know, what do you believe in? And what is it that you have as an explanation for even why we are even here? You know, this is about as ridiculous as the question of what came first, the chicken or the egg. You know,
well, Darwin's theory of evolution has been proven wrong. They reelected Obama, so.
Well, you know, I mean, I remember that the times in school when evolution was considered to be, it was taught. But the thing that I want, you know, there were times when the Gideon used to be able to deliver Bibles to the school, you know, and it's just, but I will tell you that we didn't start having these issues with morals with the issue of God. We didn't start having that stuff until, you know, it was during the time that there was all this fight and inbreeding to stop prayer in school.
Uh-huh.
And there's issues where they have stopped the Pledge of Allegiance in school. You know, all those things that our founding fathers stood upon, fought for. You know, if you look at, and I'll go back to this, if you look at reading the subject matter of how the Constitution itself was even formulated, developed, written, all the necessary things that were done every time that committee came together to write, they would pray. Pray to who? Pray to what? I mean, that is what this nation was founded upon. And, you know, you want to go to another country that denounces God, and I will say it on air, Christ, Jesus. You want to go somewhere like North Japan? Have at it. You know, the door, don't want to hit you in the butt.
Exactly.
The United States of America. This is,
yep.
I mean, if you read the history books, there's documented proof. I mean, it's in the Library of Congress. I mean, before they would get together and actually put pen on paper, their quill on paper, they would pray. And I can guarantee you they weren't praying to the doorknob. They were not praying to the tree outside. You know, I mean, you forget where you come from. And I am telling you, you will reap the benefit of that, and it will not be pretty. You know, all you need to do is look back in history and see how things have repeated itself. I mean, one day Poland woke up and there was this man that was standing before all these crowds of people telling them how wonderful it will be if you follow what I do, if you do what I say. Raised his hand in the air, you know, and he painted a beautiful picture of what life is going to be like. All you need to do is elect me. Now, move forward. And we're in 2013. You know, I don't want to compare today to the Holocaust, but I am just saying that if we don't wake up and smell the coffee, then we're going to be just like those people in Poland that one day woke up the day after election and began to realize, maybe I made a bad decision here, you know. And I'm sure, especially those people wearing those striped pajamas, you know. And what do those kids know? That you know, all they see is what the media puts out. You know, all they see is what the media puts out to them that says that, oh, it's there's nothing wrong with it, you know. And if you really, does the media really show the true meaning of Chicago? What about what it used to be like? You know, when we were, when is the last time the United States of America was a nation of where we were profiting from our own personal responsibility, from our own entrepreneurship businesses? When was the last time that you heard a kid say that I am passionate about wanting to be an astronaut one day? That one day I would like to be able to own my own pharmacy. You know, nowadays you got kids standing on the street corner and want to know how they can get a dime. And their mentors are the gang members. And how many of those people really know how to read? You know, that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm so passionate about, you know, I just think we got to stand up. And you know, otherwise, because this, to me, the Constitution is a living, breathing document, just like our flag, not to be treated with disrespect. You know, you don't put it on the ground and stomp on it. You don't, you know, now this happened recently. An apartment complex rose the flag in Birmingham, Alabama, upside down by mistake. One of our talk show radio hosts, Michael Hart, happened to spot this. And, you know, that's duress for those of us who really know our history and know what that means. And so he, like, stopped his car. You know, he thought, oh, I have a news story here. And they didn't even realize what they had done and didn't even understand what it meant. You know, 2013, you know, and we've got an election season coming up in 2014. What are we doing to engage, to interact and impact? What are we as American citizens doing? I don't care if you are a naturalized citizen, if you have, you know, done your due diligence to legally to be an American citizen here. You know, the true American citizens are the Native Americans to me. You know, they were the ones that were here before we even came. You know, but what are we doing? And I know that we have our lives, and people want to know about this new baby that was born overseas, you know, the royalty, whatever, you know. But, I mean, what about the babies that are being lost every day in America? And the people that are getting paid to go fight for their right to murder those babies every day. People that don't even know what they're even, you know, going and marching for when they're being paid by people like Soros, you know, for Occupy Wall Street. And now we've got this Trayvon Martin stuff that is so blown out of proportion, it's ridiculous. And we got so much black-on-black crime, you know, and you know, and we talk about that kind of stuff. But even, I mean, truth be told, who is really behind the scenes on the news network that is supposed to be what the left want to consider Fox to be, you know, on the far right, you know, conservative. And if you take a look at the money trail, I mean, it's corrupt on both sides of the aisle. And we have seen this. We have seen this, you know, so many times. And people, because of their being so uneducated, there's nothing. What is it that has? When is the last time you remember a kid coming home and talking about what an exciting subject they had in class today? And, yes. And you know, and Mama, I want to grow up and I want to be, you know, not your typical fireman, police officer kind of thing, you know, like kids kind of dreaming, but really where kids are inspired to want to be somebody, you know, because they look around them. And they live in an area like in Chicago. You know, I got a friend of mine. I have a friend of mine, Carney Smith. He's a pastor, and he was talking to some kids in the hood in Birmingham, and they were like, you know, we're really upset because we want to order pizza, and they won't deliver to us because you know they say that it's too dangerous. And he said, well, okay, so how about this? Why don't you start your own pizza delivery business? And he began to use the same model that Frederick Douglass did. And they began to learn through educating themselves on how to handle finances, you know, and all that stuff. And so they got
Dan,
out of
you
the,
mentioned,
they got, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, no, I was going to say, you mentioned not being allowed to follow your dreams. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police officer. I want to be an astronaut, you know. And, well, according to Common Core, that's not allowed anymore. based on your test score, they'll tell you what your dreams are.
Right. And so, I mean, you know, but this community of kids, gang members, eventually were making enough money that they saw the value and the worth of being business owners. And they got out of the gang lifestyle and cleaned up the community. So if we don't watch it, if we allow government to dictate for us, I mean, we've already got government cell phones, we got government health care coming out, you know, and we got people that are saying that, you know, I don't have the right to own my own gun. So, you know, what's left?
Well, you point out all of the basic points. I mean, you know, in closing with the show, it's like, people, get off your butt and get engaged. You have an opinion. Use it. I remember when I first met my wife, she used to tell me she didn't like politics because everybody wants to fight over insignificant stuff and everyone should be allowed to have their opinion. I don't care if you disagree with me. Get engaged. Do something. Quit remaining silent. Quit letting this country fall apart. You've never seen a flag burned at a gun show. You know, John said it perfectly. Local elections. I've said it for how many weeks? Local elections. How many people listening to this show are currently working on a local election? Have you contacted somebody running for office? Do you want to run for office? Contact us. Between Jennifer, Dan, myself, Scott, and Stacy, trust me, I don't care what state you're in, thanks to Herman Cain and Newt Gingrich and Chuck DeVore, we know somebody in your state. I guarantee that we will take care of you. You need to engage, you know, and this has to stop. And Jennifer, you talk about the lack of respect for the flag and for our country, and, you know, unfortunately, I lived, my house is exactly 47 miles from that idiot Michael Newdow who sued to remove God from the Pledge of Allegiance, which happened to be my first foray into politics. A woman named Lynn called me, and we threw a Save the Pledge rally at the state capitol, and I had no clue what I was doing. And actually, it was absolutely bad because it was a gentleman named Rico Aller, who was a state senator, and I had never met him before. Or actually, I had met him one time at a Tom McClintock function. And Lynn wanted to throw an Save the Pledge rally at the state capitol, and I had no idea what I was doing. And somebody said, well, the first thing you have to do is have a sponsor. So I went to the capitol, and I'm looking at the board going, I have no clue what to do. And this guy, Rico, walks up behind me and goes, Rodney, what are you doing here? And I went, holy smoke, Senator Aller knows who I am. And he goes, what are you doing? And I went, looking for a sponsor for a Save God in the Pledge of Allegiance rally. And he goes, great, I'm your sponsor, come with me. And he helped me throw the whole thing. And that was my first time ever. And it was an absolute horrid day because we had every news media in the state at the state capitol to report on this thing. And we had elected officials, McClintock, Craig DeLuce from the a group out here. We had Rico, Alan Nakanishi, all kinds of guest speakers. But I did not have Facebook or the following I have now. I was not able to promote it and had like 10 people in the audience. And the next in the newspaper, it was the class clown, Rico Aller, and his rally at the Capitol. And I was flabbergasted going in, apologizing, thinking, I'm dead, my political career is over. And Rico made one comment to me. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. America will believe three pieces of an article. And I just made him the hero of California for saving God and the Pledge of Allegiance. Everything else will be forgotten. Get off your butt, stand up, and engage people. That's the bottom line. Dan?
Oh, I agree 100%. When I first got involved in this also, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I just started doing it, and I had people saying, you know, you aren't going to make any changes. You know, you're just one person. Well, I'm proud to say that, yes, I am making a difference now. And I'm very proud of it. And you were talking about this nonsense of atheism and this what they're trying to push through the military. And Rodney, you know, I had a near-death experience. Jennifer knows, and my audience, and a brief background. Last year, I had a massive heart attack and was in a coma for 6 weeks and had a meeting with God, basically, and a vision of the crucifixion. And I have it all written down. And if you scroll back enough, you'll see where I wrote it. But I've always had the belief in God. And for anybody who challenges that our forefathers didn't have that same belief, all I say is go to Washington. Look at all our original buildings around the Capitol. Every single building has carved in stone God. God was our foundation of this nation. From the very first time Europeans stepped on our soil to create this nation, they left England because of a tyrannical government who was forcing them to follow their church and not have the religious freedom. Roger Williams founded the state of Rhode Island and actually was the model of what it is for true freedom of religion. And the Supreme Court, 200 years later, says that atheists are covered under the First Amendment. They had to go to all the major dictionaries and have them rewrite the definition of atheist so that it will fit their little ideal. And if you look at what the actual definition from a dictionary that's 20 years old, it says the lack of belief in a higher power. And now they're trying to tell us that they should have ministers. A minister who's going to preach what? That doorknobs are the ones we should believe in? That nothing, that God doesn't exist? That's taking away our very foundation of this nation. You keep on hearing me say putting God back in the center of our country. And I mean that. I mean that God has to be the first one. We need to get our parents, to get their children back going to church. We need to reinstitute the Pledge of Allegiance, the Star Spangled Banner. We need to show them that the Stars and Stripes deserves the utmost respect, that God and prayer should be back in our schools, and that these quote-unquote politically correct people need to be stifled. We need to stand up to these people. We need to say enough is enough. You know, they have always won because they yell better than Republicans. Republicans, because we are non-fighters by nature, have allowed this to happen. And what we need to do is we need to engage. And I challenge any politicians listening to me now is tell the truth. Don't get engaged in their battles. Tell the truth. the truth will set you free, and it will bring us back on course. You don't need to argue these, you know, points. You need to tell the truth where we came from as a people. We need in our schools, we need to teach the sacrifices by our forefathers. As Jennifer said, our forefathers right now are doing flip-flops. I believe that if, you know, they should have make a media presentation, if we can't get our kids to go to the Freedom Trail, to walk through the Freedom Trail, to see the spots where we gathered, how the local people gathered in taverns to plan their attacks. If you go to Charleston, Massachusetts, and ask for where the tavern is at the base of Bunker Hill, well, that's where that whole battle was planned, at that tavern. It's the oldest tavern in the country. You know, if we take them to Walden's Pond and teach them about Henry David Thoreau and civil disobedience, how he stood up because he was against the taxes in the local community. He had to serve time in jail, but he got his point across. And, you know, Roger Williams, he said separation between church and state and true freedom of religion. That's why the first synagogue is based in Newport, Rhode Island. The Navy, the first Navy was a blockade runner to get around ships blocking Narragansett Bay to try to get to levy their taxes. So they New Englanders used coastal freighters, much smaller boats, and they, the Katy, sailed around the blockade and was followed by the Gatsby. And the Gatsby was a British warship, which a much deeper draft. And Katy sailed across a sandbar that she knew of. Gatsby tried to follow, and she ran aground. The crew took the the Gatsby off, sent them packing. They took all the valuables off the ship. They took the captain of the Gatsby. They held him down. They shot him in his genitals, gave first aid to him, and sent him back, and saying, if you want to try to attack us again, this is what's going to happen. They, you know, they intentionally saved the man just to bring him back for a point. This is what our nation was built on. Is that it was built on everyday people. And we need to return that. We need to teach these to our children. We need, maybe not the story of the Gatsby, but that's where the revolution actually began. Because it was at that day that the state of Rhode Island declared independence from the British. It was the first state to do so. And 6 months later was the Boston Massacre. And Massachusetts Bay Colony followed shortly thereafter. But kids don't know that today. Children need to be given the Constitution early on. They need to learn the Pledge of Allegiance just like when I grew up, from first grade, from kindergarten on, I was doing the pledge. And, you know, as I said, they need to listen to that Red Skelton skit. And we need to get these school board members out and replace them with people that know, that are not Common Core advocates. They want to return things back the way they used to be. I mean, children from the 30s are learning more than kids are today, and it's terrible. It's a travesty. And that needs to be changed before, you know, as John was saying, right now you have somebody voting on a constitutional amendment. They don't even understand it. We need the people, I think, by 7th grade or 8th grade, they should be handed the Federalist Papers. And they should be taught the Federalist Papers. And even when I was younger, the Federalist Papers weren't even mentioned. And today, they aren't even mentioned in the Constitution. You know, Jennifer, I'll let you take it from here.
Well, I want to thank everybody for a great show tonight. I mean, each week it's always exciting. We never really know exactly where it's going to go. We have an idea. I just want to thank Scott Osborne for being the visionary behind this and seeing the need, and for Rodney and Dan for being here. Stacy was not able to make it tonight. I know that she was listening in. But I hope she gets to feeling better. And the same with Scott Osborne, too. I want to thank everybody for a wonderful show tonight. And and I am just I'm really excited. And I'm going to pass it on back to Rodney and let him handle it from here.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. I just want to close with a couple of comments. Your vision to bring us all together is the most amazing thing. I have never been so excited to have a Tuesday night come around to be part of this group. Jennifer, I cannot believe how many tests you've got tonight. So your passion is infectious, and it's actually, to find it, one of my favorite phrases, attitudes are contagious. They're worth testing. Your young lady is worth testing. And she's sensitive in every word she speaks. She's passionate. She's a gratitude. And Dan, your life story is the inspiration of me and the majority of Americans who see this show. And if you're not inspired by Dan's life story, you get something wrong. Because it's just unbelievable. And it's people like you. John said it perfectly. John repeated it. Everything I said is relief. Get involved. Dan said it perfectly. The number one thing you can do is you can't find yourself a good sheriff, you can't find yourself a school board member. Common Core has got to be stopped. And it's got to be stopped at a local level. That's the bottom line. Don't get off your cut and get involved. Because what our flag, our country, our constitution, everything we ever lived for is based on the fact that we stand up for what's right. So get off your butt and stand up for what's right. No matter what it takes, no matter what you have to do, no matter what comfort zone you have to jump out of, do it, people. Do it. Let's take back America. Dan or Jennifer, anybody else have a closing comment?
No, I'm all set. How about you, Jennifer?
God bless America.
Well, most definitely.
God bless America.
Amen to that.
God bless America. We need to keep it on our currency. We need to keep it in our schools. We need to keep it, on our capital. And it's going to be up to us as Americans to make it happen. It won't happen if we're on the couch. And there's only so much you can do on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do on the couch, too. But, you bring up a great point with God, our money, and our Constitution, and the Ten Commandments on the Supreme Court, and it's by people. I believe in God, but I in no way have ever tried to force my belief on you. So why is it that if you choose not to believe in God, you find it upon your right to infringe on Bible? Stop it. This is a free country. Believe what you do, I believe what I do. And I damn near am going to knock you down. I will stand up and try to force what I believe in. And at this point, may we have red skeletons.
I agree. what drives me crazy is that they're trying to tell me not to believe in God. And, you know, somebody chooses not to believe in God, that's their business. I know my God. I know I will die for my God. But I'm not going to force it upon anybody. You know, I can say what, you know, my personal experiences, but there's a reason they printed on our currency in God We Trust. And they also printed E Pluribus Unum out of many run. And that's what we are. And is that, you know, with those freedoms are things we have to guard. And we have to make sure that nobody ever takes those freedoms away from us. And right now, these atheists are trying to do that. And I refuse to allow that to happen. As long as I'm on my, you know, as long as I keep air breathing through my lungs and blood pumping through my my body, I'm going to be fighting this. And my goal is to return our nation to where it is. And I know that's Jennifer's goal and yours, Rodney, and Scott's. And people, we need you. We need all of you to get out there. Find out what's going on in your local school system. You know, when you go to get your car washed, start talking. Don't be afraid to mention politics. Every time I go down to get my car washed, nearest body to me, I start talking to them. And I usually start out, can you believe what's going on with this country? And that usually gets people going because both sides are upset. And then all of a sudden, you know, we can direct the conversation and say, hey, what about the school board? And we've got to be in there, and we got to keep on fighting. We got to keep on keeping on, and if we don't, we stand to lose everything, just like our forefathers. You know, we're going to either lose everything or we're going to gain everything. And I don't want to lose everything because, you know something, I have an obligation to my grandchildren, and I will not give them a Detroit tap to live in for the rest of their lives. And I'm here, you know, fighting this fight. You know, I'm near the end of my own battle, you know, with heart disease. And by God, I'm going to keep on fighting for my country because this is what I believe in. And I believe in, I will give anything to my country. You know, my dad served in the Navy. The only reason I didn't is it was just post-Vietnam. And it just wasn't the way to go at that point. And I regret that decision ever since. I'm ashamed of myself for that, but that was the 70s, and you know, can't relive those days. But I'm going to fight for this country until there's no fight left in me. And I know all of you will be there right along with me. And Jennifer, you have anything else?
Actually, she had to drop off.
Oh.
So
okay.
I want to close with the fact that, you know, Dan, you're, like I said, an inspiration to a whole lot of us, and we're going to keep fighting right next to you. And every day I wake up, I think, what can I do to change my country? And I've said it before, people, get off your butt, get engaged. Do not wait till it's too late and there's nothing you can do but bitch, whine, and complain, because at that point, it's not going to change. Now is the time to engage. Now is when it's important. Now is when it matters. 3 years from now, when your rights have been infringed upon, it's too late to complain. It's too late to whine. It's not going to matter. And if you don't get involved now, you know, we need to stop fighting amongst ourselves. We need to come together. My favorite, less taxes, more jobs. Stop hating the rich if you're poor. Stop looking for a free ride because you want to take the easy road. Take some pride in yourself. Get off your butt. If you don't have a job, go get one. If you aren't doing anything with your life, figure it out. Do something. Stop whining. Stop complaining. It's not somebody else's fault. It's your own. It's you. Change it. You need to get yourself involved. If you're sitting on the couch going, my country sucks, get off your butt. If you're sitting on the couch on Facebook complaining about there's voter fraud, then stop it. Hugh Hewitt wrote a book in 2003 called If It's Not Close, They Can't Cheat. Get off your butt and get people engaged. If it's not close, they can't cheat. Voter fraud's irrelevant if we win by 70%. I don't care how many dead people vote in Chicago. You know, and so the bottom line is, people, get off your butt. Get engaged. Stop watching TV. The new Survivor show is not that important. The new reality show is not that great. Our country is. It used to be, and it can be again. And I would love to close this show with Red Skeleton, because I know how much it means to Dan.
Thanks. I agree. And God bless America.
God bless America.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Lasswell was his name. Mr. Lasswell, he was his, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice. The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country
as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?